Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service this morning. It's good to see you all here. Traditionally, on Good Friday, we have a quiet, reflective service, so this is what will happen. But do feel free to, twiddle your thumbs, draw a picture if you wish. Some of you have an Easter scene to make, if you'd like to do that. Or listen to the readings, the reflections. At one point, I will become Pilate's wife, but do not worry. I will transform back at the end. But just enter in to the journey of Jesus as he went towards the cross on Good Friday as we pause and we spend a bit of time together. Let's just begin by praying together. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Let's stand together at the start of our service and sing our first hymn. Here is love, vast as the ocean.
This reading is taken from Matthew chapter 27. Verses 15 to 25. Now, it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So, when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message: "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why, what crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." And all the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and on our children."
I told him not to get involved. "Leave it alone," I said. "Stay out of it. After all, you're the governor, you're the one in charge. Let the Jews sort it out. Send him off to Herod. Get someone else to do the dirty work for a change. It's not your problem." So what did he do? Made a right botch up of things, that's what he did. Oh, he tried all right, I'm not denying that. He wanted to wash his hands of Jesus as much as I did. More, if anything. I've never seen him so agitated. So uncertain about what to do. And to be fair, he took my advice to a point, sent the man off to Herod, just as I had suggested, but he let him send Jesus back. That's what I can't understand. He let the cunning old devil off the hook and left him in the lurch. Honestly, men. After that, it was downhill all the way. "You decide," he told the crowd. "Barabbas or Jesus? It's up to you." Brilliant. They could all see what he was angling for, and they were damned if they were going to give it to him. "Give us Barabbas," they shouted. And you could almost hear them chuckle. They could scarcely keep the smirk off their faces. So there he was. Nowhere else to turn. No one else to turn to. The decision was his. And his alone. Yet even then, all wasn't lost. He should have stood up to the mob. He should have listened to his conscience. Not that he ever had one before, mind you. But when May suggested that his loyalty might be suspect, his job on the line, well, that settled it. Now look at him. I thought my nerves were bad, but his, they're shot right through. You just can't forget that man, night and day. Never a moment's peace. He's tormented. He's tormented by the shame. He's riddled with guilt. Well, I tried to warn him. I couldn't do more. He made his decision and now he has to live with it. But I can't help wondering sometimes when I look into his eyes, when I catch that haunted, hunted expression deep within, just who passed judgment that day? Was it Pontius who condemned Jesus? Or was it he, the one that was condemned? I wonder whether we could just spend a few moments thinking about decisions we've had to make in our lives that maybe we're not proud of. Things that we've done that maybe haunt us still even now. Decisions that we have made that have caused harm to other people. Let's take a moment to think about that before we bring those things to God. I'd like to invite David to come and read our next reading.
John chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, O King of the Jews!" And they struck him on the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!"
So as we meet together today, we remember Jesus' journey to the cross, but we also remember his body that was broken. The crowd shouted, "Crucify!" And Pilate had Jesus whipped and a crown of thorns was put upon his head. But then he was taken and he was nailed to a cross. His body was broken. We remember that. And we remember before that that Jesus had been with his disciples and he'd taken bread and he said, "This is my body, broken for you." How those words must have rung in their heads as they watched Jesus being nailed to the cross. We also remember Jesus' blood shed for us. We remember the night that he was betrayed. He took the wine and he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant." And then a little while later, his blood was shed on the cross. As we come to take communion, we're going to sing our next song together. "Come and see, come and see, come and see the King of Love." So let's stand together and sing. He was beaten, he was tortured, but he didn't say a word. Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered and like a sheep being sheared, he took it all in silence. Justice miscarried and he was led off. And did anyone really know what was happening? He died without a thought for his own welfare, beaten for the sins of my people. They buried him with the wicked, threw him in a grave with a rich man, even though he never hurt a soul or said one word that wasn't true. Still, it's what God had in mind all along, to crush him with pain. The plan was that he gave himself as an offering for sin, so that he'd see life come from the sacrifice he had made. Because he looked death in the face and didn't flinch, because he embraced the company of the lowest, he took on his own shoulders the sin of many. He took up the cause of all the lost. And today we thank God for that. Let's drink together. Let's pray together. As evening approached, there was a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it on his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to seal the tomb and went away.
It was the least I could do. The very, very least. And yes, I should have done more. I know that. No need to rub it in. I ought to have spoken out before the council, begged them to reconsider, publicly declared my faith. I should have told Pilate of their perjury, pleaded with him to show mercy, explained what sort of kingdom Jesus was talking about. But I didn't, did I? I didn't say anything, just watched and listened. I didn't do anything, just kept my own counsel. I skulked in the shadows, observed from the outside, bit my tongue, and let them crucify the Messiah. Could it have been any different? Would my intervention have changed anything? I doubt it, not given the mood they were in. His fate was sealed long before, and no one was going to rob them of their prize. Yet, though I kept on telling myself that, vainly attempting to excuse my silence, it doesn't help, for in my heart I know I failed him. When the chance was there to declare my allegiance, I chickened out. When the moment came to make my stand, I was afraid. My concern was all for me and none for him. Yes, I know it's understandable that most likely you would have done the same, but that's not the point. It's me we're talking about. Me who will have to live with the knowledge of my failure until my dying day. And so that's why I've acted now, offering my tomb to provide for his burial. It's not much, I realise that. A bit like shutting the stable door after the horse has bolted. But it's all there is left. Some small way in which I could make amends. A token gesture? You may be right. A feeble attempt to salve my conscience? Most probably. But I hope it's more than that. You see, I've had enough of hiding, enough of closet discipleship, enough of this faith that's afraid to call its name. So I've thrown caution to the wind and nailed my colours to the mast. It may cost me my position. It will certainly cost me my friends. It might even cost me my life. But if Jesus could willingly sacrifice all that for me, who deserves so little, surely I can do something for him who deserves so much.
In a moment, we're going to sing our final hymn together, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. I'm just going to talk a little bit now, because I can see Michael's just started on the bottom step, and he's not at the organ. Unless we want to do a cappella, which we could. But I'd also like to say that we're also here, of course, on Easter Sunday, which is a much more joyous occasion with various things that we'll do involving Easter eggs and lots of activity, and you're most welcome to come to that as well. But we are now going to sing our final hymn, which is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Let's stand together and sing. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. So let us go out and love one another so that others may see what God is really like. And may God walk with us and surround us and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.